The Good, the Bad, and the Boucherian.
The Good, the Bad, and the Boucherian.
And folks, you're listening to The Good, the Bad, and the Boucherian.
I am honest. If I had another child, I wouldn't put them through what this other one went through. I would not. So for me, it was 4 years of hell.
It's your boy Billy back at it with another episode. Hope you guys are keeping well, keeping safe amidst the pandemic, and things are going well on your side. So today is a special day because this is the debut. This is the first time we're having a parent on the podcast. For me, it's actually very surreal that my friend's parents actually listen and support the podcast. Sometimes I wonder, do these people actually listen to the podcast? And one thing I realized is that for the parents who listen to the podcast, they actually listen to it more consistently than even my friends. And so for me, that's one thing I'm very grateful for. So today's parent, her name is Vicky Mwangi. She works in the hospitality industry. And she says she's a mother to many and has a lot of experience with mothering. So we want to hear what that is all about. And we'd also like to have many more parents hopping on the podcast and telling us the experiences from the baby boomers to the Generation Y, and just hearing for them how parenting has been, how even us as we rant and mumble and complain about how our parents have been in all these episodes, want to hear for them how their parents were, how they are treating their children, how schooling was for them due to the generation disparity. So yeah.
So we're living in uncertain times, but hey, it's all good. That's where it's called life.
True. The uncertainties.
Yes.
But all in all, do you enjoy it?
Yes, I do. I actually love what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Tell me a bit about that. How did you get to choosing something that you love? And especially a lot of people your age don't per se love what they do. They just, now that they have to do it, they do it. But if they had to choose something else, they would. So for you, what made you make the right choice with that?
Actually, this was not my initial career.
Mm-hmm.
I went to school to study finance.
Uh-huh.
Because my father thought finance accounting is actually a very good option.
Mm-hmm.
And once I was done with that, I have tried to work in that area. It was not appealing.
Mm-hmm.
So I left and got into the hospitality industry.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so this was actually not originally what I went to school to study.
And so for you, how is it breaking from that norm of not doing what people expected of you, now that your father expected you to be probably working for the treasury with your finance degree and now you're not? So for you, what made it easier for you to break out from that? Because a lot of us probably want to do things to please society or our parents. So
life is short.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't live your life based on other people's expectations of what they think your life needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, this idea of going to work just because you have to make a living, and then you end up being really miserable at your job, and in the process, you're making other people miserable.
Mm-hmm.
You need to love yourself a bit more.
Uh-huh.
So it's on that basis that for me, I really struggled. And it was many years. It was close to 10 years of doing things that I didn't feel were the right thing. So I'd work in a company for 3 months, I'd quit, get another job. I blamed it on the employer, but I just didn't like what I was doing. And until I got an opportunity into hospitality and realized, yes, I love interacting with people. I like the challenge or the uncertainty of arranging for an event. Just the buzz. I don't know who I'll meet tomorrow. I could meet somebody from Kazakhstan. Just the thrill of the different kinds of people you get to interact with. Yeah, and I've been doing what I'm doing now, I think 15 years now, and I'm happy. Yeah.
And now that you, when you shifted, were there naysayers asking you what happened or why are you doing this?
Of course, all your relatives first begin wondering what is wrong with this human being. I mean, you have a solid career in finance. You could There's so many things you can do in the finance world, and there's opportunities to grow, and you want to go work in a hotel.
Make it make sense.
What are you thinking? You know, are you having, is it delayed? We normally have different expectations when we are teens. We can't make up our minds. So for me, people probably assumed that I was having an identity crisis, perhaps, or I was having delayed teenage milestones. Yeah, but sadly, I'm a bit headstrong.
Sadly, how is that sadly?
You might now begin to understand where my daughter gets some of her characteristics from.
I
Once I decide I'm taking a path, I go the whole hog. I let me make my mistakes. Let me learn from my mistakes. I appreciate the opportunities you've given me. I'm not ungrateful. But then again, I don't just want to spend the rest of my life doing balance sheets and profit and loss, and I don't like those things. So, yeah.
And so even with that, did you have to do a degree in hospitality or was it something, did you just branch to it using your finance?
No, I actually didn't go back to school for it. I started learning on the job. I started learning on the job, and it's a passion that I had. So I've grown on the job and went back to school, what, 3, 4 years ago? Yes. So I'm actually currently now doing a master's in hospitality management. Yeah, but I didn't go back to school immediately. I believed in myself enough to go and sell myself to these hospitality institutions with no papers. Yeah.
Hey, that's very admirable. I mean, every shot you don't take is counted as a loss. And for you, you can see things turn out better than all of us would expect with you not having a degree. And there's someone who actually went and had a degree and still didn't have that job.
Believe in yourself. You're your biggest cheerleader. If you walk into an interview room and you have doubts about your abilities, why will I hire you? So you can come with all your papers and you do not have confidence in what you can deliver, and somebody else has nothing, but they have confidence. And that is what matters in life. How do you sell yourself? Yes.
So tell us a bit about selling yourself, especially that for a lot of people now, I realize a lot of us, quote unquote, tell ourselves that we suffer with anxiety, like get a lot of anxiety, perhaps doing our job interviews or pitching to people. Even I, as I'm doing this podcast, I was just wondering, this is the first parent on my podcast. What if I don't do it right? So for you, how do you develop that sense of self-belief to a point where you can walk in an interview room without papers and you'll actually get the job?
I think it's also about how I have been brought up, because my parents brought us believing that you than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I've grown up with that confidence that whatever it is that I put my mind into doing, I can actually achieve it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a gamble. So when I walk in there, I'm walking in knowing that I am the best candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And take it or leave it. So if you want the best, it's I am offering you the best.
Yes.
So believe in yourself and project that belief.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to talk your way. Sometimes you have to bullshit. I'm sorry about my language, but you just talk your way through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes you don't have the qualifications. They're asking you for 5 years experience. You just graduated.
Mm-hmm.
But are you confident enough that the skills you've mastered within the years you were in school are comparable
mm-hmm.
to that kind of experience? It's just the confidence in yourself. Don't wait for somebody to tell you you're good. Believe that you are better than good, and then mm-hmm. sell that.
Aha. So that brings me to the next question, which is, now that you've talked about your childhood and how these things were instilled in you, how did your parents effectively do this? Is it that they listen to you guys, your opinions mattered at home? Because even from previous episode, you've heard that parents nowadays, or probably in the past, forced down what they learned from their parents to their children. And so you see how my generation, how we are now more proactive. We want to question everything, and that then sits right with a lot of parents. So for you, with your parents, was it that at dinner table, all of you sat down and you're allowed to air your views? Was it that in school, your parents were your biggest cheerleaders and told you, go for these things? So what was your home when you were younger? How was it growing up in that setting? Give us a story time of some sort, or just a deep dive into that.
My upbringing was interesting because my father was very liberal, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave a voice to all his children, regardless of whether you were male or female. Because when I was growing up, there was gender issues where the boy child was the preferred gender. He would mm-hmm. carry the family name. So the girls, their education really did not matter. In our home, things were really different because for us, we were all children.
Mm-hmm.
My father's voice was low, but he still gave you an opportunity to voice your opinions.
Mm-hmm.
So he would give us, we used to have like a baraza or a kamkunji once in a while where he'd parade all of us. And he'd ask all of us, what was your grade? So there's five of us lined up in a straight line in front of my father as he sits on his favorite seat. Uh-huh. And he'd keep asking us, what was your grade? Why did you get that grade? What do you think you will achieve with that kind of grade? Then he'd uh-huh. go to the next person, to the next person. Then he'd ask you, okay, with your abilities, what do you think you want to achieve?
Mm-hmm.
So he will listen, and then he'll tell you, I am paying school fees and this is what I'm going to pay for. So those grades have to come up.
Mm-hmm.
We will only negotiate.
Uh-huh.
I can only listen to you when you bring something to negotiate about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's give and take. You want to study X, but you need to bring me Y as your grade so that we can discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And now on that point, now that I can't ask your father, now I'll ask you and how you deal with your daughter. How do you know the exact academic ability of your child? Because there are some children who, for example, now that I've done my primary in high school, you realize that people who at some point they are doing very well academically, then they drop, and now that's attributed to laziness, and some people are not doing well, and then they suddenly pick up after, you know, the parents scolding and the teachers putting more effort and then putting more effort, and they shoot up. And then there are some who all along they have been high achievers. So as a parent, at what point do you know this is the ability of my child and this is what we're going to work with? Because a lot of parents always say they were number one, two, three, or every parent I know was top three in their school. So we don't know what other positions, the other positions were for who, but for you, at what stage do you know, but this is my child's ability?
Okay. I didn't have another child to compare with.
Mm-hmm.
Since, fortunately, I only have the one.
Mm-hmm.
But from a very early age, my interaction with her was very different.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been very present in her life, academically and outside school.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm this parent who you're told you can only come to school on this day. But because I know my child performs better when I am encouraging or motivating her, or when she feels that I am monitoring her progress,
mm-hmm.
I make it a point to visit the school.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been the way we've worked with my daughter right through from primary school. She was in boarding school, but every weekend I traveled to school, followed up with her teachers. I did the same in high school. I don't think she's going to like this.
Now she knows.
I'd actually sit with her. I'm not going incognito.
Mm-hmm.
I actually go and we have a sit-in and I ask her, so what's the challenge this week?
Mm.
She says, this is what is challenging.
Mm-hmm.
If it is Fasihi, when she comes home, would read the book with her.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I read all your Fasihi books. I read all, I did those Isimu Jamii. I
Voluntarily. Wow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Because that was what she would say was giving her challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll sit with her, then I'll read and I'll ask her, okay, let's reenact this scene. Let's describe what we have learned.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a fun activity.
Mm-hmm.
So for me with my daughter, what I have done is just be very active in everything she does.
Mm-hmm.
Cheer her on. She needs to know that, yes, there's times we will fail, but when you fail, I'm here. When you excel, I am still here.
Mm-hmm.
And I am your partner in this. So if you want somebody to sit up with you at 3 a.m., that's the time you want to study, I will get up and sit with you at 3 a.m.
Oh, wow. This is... uh-huh.
So generally, for her, she's had the support of knowing that I'm her number one supporter, I'm her number one cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
If it is sports day when she was in kindergarten, I shall be there. I shall attempt to run.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever activity she's involved in, I will try my best to support her in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And what are the results of all that effort?
The results are that I have a daughter who happens to be my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
I have a daughter who, even when she is far away from home,
mm-hmm.
we speak on a daily basis.
Daily? It has to happen?
Yes, we have an hour every mm-hmm. single day.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter and I speak.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know how she's doing. She needs to know how I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm encouraged that the relationship we have built, even now that she grows older, we have not strayed. And when she faces challenges, she's able to speak to me as her mother and know that I will not judge her because I've been with her all along. I know her weaknesses, I know her strengths. So she will not surprise me. Yes.
And even now with long distance, I saw a post saying that parents are the ones who suffer most with long distance. So tell me a bit about that.
there's something called the empty nest syndrome. When your child leaves, it basically the house becomes cold. It's empty. And for me, my daughter has been in boarding school for a while, but even when she was in boarding school, I'd see her quite frequently. The first time she left, that was 2019, it was traumatizing for me. I think it hit me harder than it did her because she had new challenges, she had new opportunities, she had a lot of things that she was learning. But I was still in my same space, and now my daughter is not here. And there's things that we do together. My daughter is really noisy and very loud. So when she's in the house, there's like 20 people. She's one, but her volume is like there's 20 of her. So suddenly the house is quiet. There's because she'll have one Bluetooth speaker in her room, the other one in the bathroom, the other one in the kitchen. So there's always noise in the house. Then suddenly she's gone and the house is silent.
And I can
And I
imagine
have no
that
one.
gradient.
And then I have no one to, when I come from work, the first thing I do is shout and call her. She's not there. So you don't even want to go home. What are you going home to? So that took quite a while. I'm not sure I've really recovered.
Three years later.
And I think that's why we do the 1 hour phone call. It's therapy for both of us. Yeah.
And even with that, now that you guys are that close, at what point does, for example, if you're close with someone, disappointing them is the last thing you want to do. So even as she does her schoolwork and things, and probably they don't go as well, how do you mitigate that in terms of how does she know that even in term when I fail, I can still come to you and not make you feel disappointment? Because for sure your mom will always be the shoulder to cry on. But how can I relay to my mom that the things are not going well, but at the same time making sure that I don't feel as if I'm disappointing her in the process?
We have an open channel of communication. So she's always known that I'll be very honest with her. When she does something or says something that disappoints me, we'll discuss and I'll let her know, hey, I didn't really like what you've done. But if you feel it is in your best interest, because again, you say it is essentially her life, right? So if you didn't do very well in your exams, but had you prepared adequately for them, as long as you're happy with what you have done, it is not in my place to now start judging you. So for her, she is able to approach me on any levels. There are times that we will agree to disagree because we're both very headstrong.
I can imagine. You need to tell us a bit about that.
So I'll give you an example. Very early, I think around class four, she decided she wanted to become a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been an excellent student all through her primary school. Most of the people, actually people who watched her grow up, used to refer her as Daktari.
Mm-hmm.
And she gravitated towards doctors. She would help around in the house when guys were sick, would inject her grandfather with insulin, make sure his meds were taken. Uh-huh. And she was focused on becoming a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Then she goes to high school. And when she comes back, I think it was form two, she tells me, Mom, I'm sorry, but medicine is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, what happened? And she's like, oh, I just decided I don't want to do medicine. I want to do chemical engineering. So I look at her and I'm like, what? What is chemical engineering? Who employs chemical engineers? Where do they work? I don't even know one chemical engineer.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, hey, I've just given you a heads up. Eh? I don't want to study medicine anymore. Uh-huh. So I thought it was a phase.
Mm-hmm.
I was not relenting. She, in her head, it was just chemical engineering, no medicine. I remember by the time we got to form four and we were choosing universities.
Uh-huh.
I'm here sitting with this girl and I'm thinking, first choice, medicine. And she's like, I thought I told you several years ago, I am not studying medicine. Now, this is my only child. Huh?
Uh-huh.
And here, I had a dream of having a daughter as a doctor.
Daktari.
Yes. I mean, I do not have another opportunity kuitwa mama wa daktari. It is just this one. This is my investment. Alafu, she has decided she's not gonna study medicine. Not that she does not have the capability. She just decided she will not do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we argued.
Uh-huh.
And argued. And she put her foot down and she said, you know, I am not going to study medicine. I am not even putting it as an option for a career in university. I am not.
Uh-huh.
So all her choices, I think, were engineering related. I tried to be pharmacy. You know, it's at a doctor here. She was not having. There's just that flicker, you know. Maybe if she goes into pharmacy, then she'll still be a doctor. And unless you know her very well, you not know it's not a medical doctor.
Yeah.
But she wasn't having any of it.
And now all your friends already know how she's been wanting to become a doctor.
Everybody in the family knows that it's been her aspiration to be a doctor. Then suddenly she doesn't want to be a doctor. Nitaambia watu nini? and that is where, as parents, we really struggle because we have societal expectations to meet.
Yeah.
What will people say when my daughter does not attain X, or when my daughter does Y, or I wanted to be a doctor. I didn't manage to be a doctor. So I want to live my dreams through my daughter. So you end up pushing your child into something that is not her.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why we're having a lot of challenges with people your generation now.
Yeah.
Because for you guys, you have a voice. I didn't have a voice. My father was paying school fees. I mean, you either do finance or you do finance.
Bottom line, but, not negotiation.
There's an option. You do finance or you do finance. Which one will you take? That's it. But now with your generation, I see a lot of people who have their own ideas, who are set in their ways, who decide that this is what I want for my life. And then now are having to deal with parents my generation who were brought up in a different way, who are set in their ways, and who have this demands from the society. The society is looking at me. My child was in a national school. How is she not a doctor?
How?
Yes. How is she not going to study medicine? But am I going to push her and risk losing her because I've pushed her into an arena that is not hers? It's not her desire, it is my desire. So at some point, you choose, do I want to lose my child? Or do I continue supporting them achieve their dream and excel in the path that they have chosen? So that is where I am. So for me, I opt to follow her. I will try and guide her. I will have a discussion with her. But ultimately, the decision is hers. Yes.
So even in that school selection period, at what point did you realize now she's just like the way you're headstrong? Now even her, she's not boarding. I'm a kata. So what point did you realize that now it's I've done my best in trying to make her choose medicine and she's refused? And so now let me with the chemical engineering.
It doesn't take 15 minutes. You know my daughter very well.15 minutes into that discussion, she wasn't having it. This girl even had a list of the universities she was going to apply to outside. She had a plan. She knew she was not studying chemical engineering in Kenya. So she had
Okay,
already
so to make it
looked.
worse, she was not only not studying medicine, she wasn't
Yes.
studying in Kenya.
And that's my only child. So suddenly I'm faced with this fear of the unknown. And not only is she not studying in Nairobi or Kenya, she does not want to go to a country where she has relatives. She wants to go out on her own. And you're thinking, okay, Lord, how do we maneuver this? Because again, we don't want to kill her dream. She has done her research.
She has a whole presentation. Schools, what
Yes.
she needs.
And this girl, when she comes at you, she comes with PowerPoint presentation, slides,
Slides.
notes. Yes,
Well put.
she has the merits and demerits. What do I achieve by studying here? When I go here, what will I achieve? What do I expect? What support do I expect from you as my mother for me to get here? You can't say no because she has come to you with a plan. And what was my plan? I didn't have a plan. It was get where is chemical engineering offered? Moi University. Okay, then we will go to Moi. And she says, I'm not going to Moi. So for her, I think she had really, for the 3 years from Form Two right through to Form Four, she had laid her groundwork. She knew what she wanted. 15 minutes into the conversation, I was like, okay, yeah, we'll do that. We'll do chemical engineering and then you can start looking for your schools and we move on. Yeah. I have learned, I think I have learned how to choose my battles wisely. There are those ones where I will confront her, and there are those ones where I will accept that I have been defeated and graciously just let her win. Yes.
And now, with that, even as you're doing the school selection, in your heart, are you praying that God, as much as you want the best for your daughter, are you praying that God let her change her mind so she can just stay with me at undergraduate? Let her stay for undergraduate, then probably master's, she can go. Or do you now finally accept that fully this one has decided anenda?
I think after listening to her and seeing what she had prepared, for me now, I accepted and I requested that God grant her the desires of her, the desires of her dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Because she had really researched on what she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, I also need to stop being selfish. I'm living my life. I have lived my life.
Yeah.
She also needs to start setting out her life.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to give her the wings to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I also need to trust that I've done a good job as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to tie her to my coattails just to have her hanging around me.
Mm-hmm.
And ensure that she's a responsible citizen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I prayed for her to actually get what it was that she desired. And I still do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you brought up an interesting point of a lot of parents probably don't want the children to go abroad or too far away from home because of what they're not sure that the children are young. So they're not sure they might face peer pressure and whatnot. And so does that stem from an insecurity of the parent not thinking that an insecurity that the parent didn't raise the child right, or is it a genuine concern that the parent doesn't want the child to get hurt? And if it's not on the insecurity part, then what is that about for you not to want your child to go abroad in the guise of you'll face these issues and so this is the reason I don't want you to go?
I think for me, as parents, sometimes we really do not know our children.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we have really not harnessed how much strength they have or what abilities and capabilities they have.
Mm-hmm.
So all I can see is my little girl. Eh?
Yeah.
But I've not peeled off the eggshells to see underneath that eggshell what is inside.
Yeah.
So we're very fearful because as parents, what we do is we parent, go to school. I take you to boarding school. I pick you. You come back. I don't have time to really learn.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this person I'm living with? What do they like? What are their strengths? What mm-hmm. are their weaknesses?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm afraid when you're all the way thousands and thousands of miles where I can't bother my church and just drop in. Eh?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Do you know how to cook for yourself? If there's an emergency, do you know what you will do?
Mm-hmm.
There's racism. How will you handle it? Will you be able to take care of yourself?
Mm-hmm.
But if you have parented this child and taught them right from wrong and given them an opportunity to express themselves fully,
mm-hmm.
you should be strong enough to release them into the world. And let them mm-hmm. also make their mistakes and learn from their mistakes. Because
mm-hmm.
I can't shelter you forever. I can keep yeah. you for undergrad.
Mm-hmm.
But even as you go for your master's, how old will you be? You will still be in your early 20s.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
But now you will be more immature because you're older in age.
Yeah.
But you have still been nurtured and protected and you yeah. haven't really developed survival mm-hmm. skills.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes as parents, it's because we really don't know our children.
Yeah.
There's children who cannot cope far from family support.
Uh-huh.
By all means, keep those ones at home.
Yeah.
And there's those ones you look at and you're like, this one.
Yeah,
I'm doing them a disservice by, you know, just hanging on to them.
Yeah, gatekeeping them.
Give them wings. Do you trust the process that you have taken them through as a parent?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wow, that's actually very profound. Now that a lot of people are not, because people a lot in my age are not very in touch the way you are with your daughter, in terms of, you'd see many people tweeting about how they live with their parents, but they're complete strangers and what all of that. So for you, even from the time you gave birth to your daughter, how was it that you said that I'll be very intentional with being her friend and not just her parent? Because the parents who say, for me, I'm your parent and I'm not your friend, and that's where I draw the line. So they won't care about your social life. As long as academics are bringing the A home, everything else is secondary. So for you, and also a lot of that stems from how they were raised, and so probably they don't know a different route in how to raise the current generation. So for you, what made it easier for you to become that friend to your daughter?
Let's not get it wrong. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still her mother. And when it comes to discipline, mshipi ye amepata.
Kiboko ni ile ile.
I am still an African mother.
Yes.
Let us not get that wrong.
Uh-huh.
So discipline, kama ni slippers, ni mwiko, ni mshipi, those ones she has received.
Yes.
Even when she's in high school. She will mm-hmm. not like me much after this. But in terms of discipline,
mm-hmm.
I am the parent.
Yes.
But in terms of being a parent, I can't claim to love you as your parent, and yet I do not give you an opportunity to express mm-hmm. yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I think it's the journey that we had with her. Because I got my daughter when I was quite young.
Mm-hmm.
I was in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So I was still growing up myself. And then I was a mother.
Mm.
Now, I'm learning. And I keep telling her, sometimes young people judge their parents harshly.
Mm-hmm.
There's nowhere. You know, you come out from a hospital with a very tiny person,
mm-hmm.
and you're expected to make sure that person lives.
Uh-huh.
That is putting enormous pressure on a person.
Mm-hmm.
No one has taught you what to do with this child.
Mm-hmm.
But you have been trusted. The hospital is giving you a living, breathing human being to go and take care of. Then suddenly you have to grow up and you look at this girl, she's trusting you, she's asking you all this question.
Mm-hmm.
And from a very young age, this girl would ask questions. This girl can talk.
Mm.
And everything has a why.
Yeah.
Let's eat. Why? We need to shower. Why? We're uh-huh. going to sleep. Why? And this is a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
It gets irritating at first, but then you realize if you don't answer this why, somebody else will answer it.
Mm-hmm.
And she might not get the correct information.
True.
So for me, what I adopted was something similar to the baraza my dad used to have with the 5 of us lined up.
Uh-huh.
But now, for me, I didn't do lining up.
Mm-hmm.
I opened up a session where, if you want to talk to me, you let me know if you're talking to me as your mother or as mm-hmm. a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever conversation we have in the friend zone,
uh-huh.
the mother cannot repeat it.
Uh-huh.
So if you come and give me confidential information and you come and tell me, I want to have a talk, but I want to talk to you as a friend,
mm-hmm.
as your mother, I cannot bring it up.
Uh-huh.
So that way, she's able to trust that whatever she brings to me will be dealt with and handled without repercussions to her.
Yeah.
So that is basically how we have grown. So with her, whether it is her social life, I want to be involved 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I know her friends from kindergarten. I can name her friends in primary school, in the three primary schools she's been to. In high school, where she is at currently, I know her friends. And I don't just want to know them. I want to interact with them. And for me, my home has always been open. So if she wants to bring her friends over, I have no problem. I want to meet your friends. I want to know who you're hanging out with. So for her, she's always felt the confidence, because if somebody doesn't want to come to your home, what are they hiding? That means they're not a genuine friend. So if they don't want to meet your mother, I'm not meeting you for any, it's not for any reason. I just want to know who my daughter is hanging out with. But if you're not comfortable meeting me, then there's something wrong. You have an ulterior motive, which is definitely not friendship. So with her, she knows all my friends. I know all her friends. She has, the funny thing is, even her phone, I have her passwords. Her email passwords, her Instagram password. She has all my passwords. So there's nothing we're hiding. I don't have anything to hide from her. She has nothing to hide from me. Because again, most of you young people are hiding behind social media. When you come home, you're somebody different. On social media, you're somebody totally different. But are you comfortable enough for you? Would you be able to give your mom your phone with all the passwords, without the vault, everything, and let her have it, access your Instagram for a day? And until even you young people are able to open up to your parents 100%, then there'll always be this doubt. The parents do not trust you 100%. If you're going out, why do you want to carry extra clothing in a bag? Change in my house. I see you've gone out in a mini skirt. If you're comfortable wearing it out there, why are you worried that you can't wear it in front of me? Why do you want to live a double life? So just be honest. Be honest with your parents about who you are. They may not like it. There's things I'm told, and I drink a glass of water because if I have nothing in my mouth, I will explode. But she has a right to speak. And give her that opportunity. But also, for you young people, give us an opportunity as parents to know you. Don't give us this this face because you think that is what I want to see. We've all done our pretty share of partying. Whatever it is that you guys are doing, we've done it. There's nothing new. But let us know what you're doing, because I can be able to stop you from making mistakes that I have made. And it will save you a lot of pain. So be open. We might not like what you say. But I'm, and then again, it depends on how you come and say it. You will not come to me when you're drunk. And you're telling me, nimeacha shule, and you expect me to give you a hug, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Come here, my daughter.
No, come to me with a plan. Hey, I took this course, but it's looking like I'm not managing. So what are the options? We go through the options, then we agree. Do we look for assistance? Do you need more time? Do you need to take a break? You can defer. Or do we look for a totally different alternative. What is your heart telling you?
Yeah.
Maybe I've sent you to study medicine and you want to become a fashion designer.
Yeah.
Now, those are totally different. But if your heart says you want to be a fashion designer, I will go and cry first in the shower, because now I'm wondering, the way I've thrown a bunch, my child has gone to med school. Then now I'm going to start buying sewing machines to do fashion design. Society, the society is going to think that, you know, what will they think? Now my child is becoming a tailor. So give us room. Because a lot of time you guys are judging parents, but are you giving us room to help you? Are you speaking to us, or you're assuming if I go to my parents with this, this is how they will react? It is an assumption.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. Even sometimes I'm told things and I scream and shout and I become the full African parent.
Yes.
Then I sleep and I wake up in the morning. I'm like, okay, was that drama really necessary? Let us revisit. So it's two ways. How you approach me. And also how you deliver what it is that you're trying to communicate. And has there been precedent? Are you always, you want to do something, but you keep changing your mind along the way. So even this time you're telling me, I don't want to do this. I want to do this. Then I know in 2 or 3 months, we'll be back to the same conversation. And build a rapport with your parents. How often do you tell your parents, I love you? Out of the blue. We like hearing those things. Imagine we like.
You do. Imagine. Imagine our parents are humans. Wow.
Imagine just once in a while. Not once in a while. Okay. For me, I get told every day. Sometimes 2-3 times a day, I get a love heart on my WhatsApp. My day is going crazy. I'm like, ooh, I needed that.
Hey, you're receiving on behalf of many parents.
I am a proud parent. But imagine you surprise your mom like this in the morning. You just send her a text, Mom, I love you. The first thing she will ask, are you okay?
What do you want? It's always, what do you want?
Because she's wondering, where has this come from? Then the next day, you tell her nothing. I just wanted to wish you a good day. The next day, after a month, she's so used to it. When you don't send that text, she actually calls you. She's like, hi, are you okay? You're like, yeah, why? You haven't sent me the text. Oh, you're like, oh. So she'll appreciate it. So even when you're coming with a difficult task, you see, you've already warmed her heart.
Yeah.
This child really loves me. He or she wouldn't want to do anything to hurt me. But they have a problem. So you'll be received properly. But now if the only text you send is, send me rent money. My shopping is finished. I'm running late. Do you even say you're running late? Or you just say, I'm at so-and-so's place, if you even say.
Yes. This is the same. I'm informing you. I'm not asking I'm not asking for permission. It's informing.
and that is a problem. I'll honestly tell you that for my daughter, even when she was home last holiday, she always asks, is it okay if I go to so-and-so's place? Is it okay if I meet so-and-so? She's an adult and she had been out on her own for a whole year. She doesn't need to ask me.
Yeah.
And she'll tell me, I'll be out until this time. Is it okay with you? If she's running late, she's going to call 30 minutes before time and let you know, I'm running late. So sometimes we assume a lot of things that, yes, now I'm old enough, I'm in campus, I can do this. You're still your parents' child and they still worry about you. And they still care about you. So you need to really connect with them. That bond you had when you were little before, I think teenage heat, and then you thought that you don't need your parents anymore. That relationship is what needs to be restored.
I think a lot of us need to heal our inner child, because even for parents, even us, believing that our parents can handle that duality of being our friend and our parent at the same time is quite hard, especially with our thinking of the African parent stereotype. So I think if there's something people should get from this podcast, for me, is from tomorrow morning, my mom will get that I love you text, and I'll be accountable to you. I tell you, this month, I have faithfully told my mom I love you on most days. But now the other, another question comes in with, now that you've said that you're actively involved in your child's life, especially even socially, and now getting to meet her friends in all her stages of her life, and you know how friendships go. So one day, today we are friends, tomorrow I do you dirty or something happens and we're no longer friends. So with that, even you as a parent, how do you navigate that when, for example, me and your daughter are friends and I do your daughter dirty and now she no longer wants me to be a friend, and now me and you already have a connection since I've met you, I've come to your house several times. So in that point, do you just choose your daughter's side, or depending on what it is, like how do you navigate the friendship dynamic now that you know each of your daughter's friends? And if, for example, I do something wrong to your daughter, do you take it personally as if I've done it to you? And even as she hurts, how do you dissociate yourself from that hurt? Or is it something that you innately as a mother just have to go through with?
Now, my daughter's friends are not my friends. I just want to know who her friends are. There are those that, for some reason, end up also being like my children. I gave birth to one child, but through her, I am a mother of many. So I have those that over time have also become my children, who will call me, who will share their issues with me. But my relationship with them and their relationship with my daughter is something very different. Because for me, sometimes I'll stand in the gap of a parent they're unable to communicate with. So whatever goes on between them and my daughter has nothing to do with my interaction with them. Now, if you hurt my daughter, I don't know how you have gotten to that point of hurting each other. So for me, what I would do is help my daughter get through the hurt. If you feel that you want to come and explain to me, because I can't call you and ask you, hey, you, why did you? I can't do that. I will not interfere in your issues. If you feel you want to communicate and let me know what the situation is from your, you know, there's always three sides of a story. His, hers, and the truth. So my daughter may come and tell me, hey, you know, he said, he did, he, but she's probably the one who's wronged you. So I can't take sides. I'll support my daughter, but I will not take sides. And it doesn't mean that if I meet you, we'll not share a coffee or I'll not say hi because you and my daughter had. And the way I know my daughter, she doesn't hold grudges, by the way. She doesn't hold grudges. She may, even if she, is there a word like defriends? There's no word. There's no English word. Even if you go through something and your relationship changes, the value of your friendship changes, I don't think she is that petty to like lock you out of her life and would never call me. Never. I haven't seen that part of her. She may engage you from a distance, but she will still engage you. It may take time, but she will engage you. So who am I now to carry a grudge on her behalf? That I will not do. But for me, I'm always available. You want to come and talk to me? Come and talk. I listen. I will give you my perspective and I will tell you, please go speak to your parents. They will understand. Or if you're not able to, introduce me to your parent. I will tell your parent where we're having a challenge. Yes.
And so
Yeah.
even now, as we wind up, tell us a bit about, because I know we'll need a part two of this because we have so much to talk about, so much to unpack. So give us a bit about the pressures of being a parent with a child in the school, being the parent of a Busharian.
Hey, let us just say I have no idea why you guys go out there proclaiming I went to Alliance.
We, the parents, proclaim that more than us, surely.
I am a Loreto alumni. And I attended day schools my entire life. Now, Alliance was a culture shock for me. And the pressure in there, not to the student, but to the parent as well. I'm surprised I survived without going through counseling. And I'm serious about this.
Are you serious?
Until we can achieve equality or equity in life, there has to be a way of the schools just managing expectations. I would go to that school and see visiting day. Some kids are not visited. Some children, the dad will come with just a newspaper because he's had to travel overnight from God knows where. And then there's others with an entourage of 8, 9, 10 cars with caterers, with tents. And how do you think this child feels when they see their father? Do they want their father to come for another visiting day? For the one who was not visited, what do you feel? Neglected, disowned, and probably your parents they have no transport money to come. And for me, I think my biggest challenge was also even when you go for the meetings, the voice will be listened to based on your title. Ideas would probably be taken more seriously when I am doctor or professor, or I am a big shot in the government ministry. So for me, it was 4 years of hell. Actually, I think, was it in first form or towards the end of first form, I'd actually contemplated pulling my daughter out. Yes, because she was actually being bullied and seriously being bullied. And I'd go to the school every other day, and they didn't think it was an issue. They said it was part of being welcomed to high school. I went to high school. I didn't go through that crap. But when somebody else went through the same thing, but the mother was influential, it got handled. Being a crazy woman, for my issue to be handled. So for me, I'm glad she went through it. But if I had another child, I wouldn't put them through it.
That one we are unpacking in another episode. Promise me with my listeners that you will come back for another episode just to talk on that issue.
I am honest. If I had another child, I wouldn't put them through what this other one went through. I would not.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much.
This one, Vicky, please, tafadhali, we need to do another episode.
I'll probably get shot. Yes, but I truly agree. And it is important for parents. I know parents are preparing their children to go to Form 1 right now.
Uh-huh.
But they need to understand that if you do not stand with your child when they join some of these national schools, that is where you lose your child. You will have children having mental issues. And if you don't support your child, they really get bullied. Both from faculty and from the student population. Yeah.
Wow. That one, we are doing a recap very soon. What's your thoughts about the podcast? What you guys' relationship with your parents are? What are some of the ways you think even us as a generation can be better children to our parents instead of always painting them as the bad guys? You know, the Twitter handle is at the Busharian Pod. On Instagram, it's at the Good, the Bad, and the Busharian. And hope to see you guys next week. Have a lovely week ahead, and cheers.